This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Miravis Neal, the latest game-changing fungicide from Syngenta. Wheat is rolling to the upside today, with corn prices also trying to make a move to the plus side of unchanged. Beans, yeah, they're under some pressure, and so are hogs. And speaking of some pressure, we're under some pressure this morning to get this show fired up and ready to go. But we are ready, so let's get this thing going.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we'll chat with Corbett Cull, the CEO of Tillable Incorporated. Then it's on to Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa. And right after the news, Annalisa Laca from Farm Journal's Milk. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, man. I'm not going to beat around the bush here too much this morning, because I just got off the phone with Corbett Cull, who is the CEO of Tillable.
Yeah.
We've got a recorded conversation coming your way in the next segment, and it lasted a little bit longer than what we had available for airtime this morning.
Okay.
So there will be an AgriTalk Extra available on AgWeb and the AgriTalk app as soon as we get things loaded up there. We'll have the full conversation out there that we had with Corbett just a little bit ago. And
all right.
Tillable got into the middle of a dust-up at the end of last week, and I think dust-up is probably a mild way of saying it. But, boy, you know how Twitter is and social media of all kind. If there are – and I've been guilty of this myself, Davis, because I've talked about, give me 2 points in the universe, and by golly, I could probably draw a straight line between them.
Absolutely. There's
well,
some dots here.
Sometimes the line can't be drawn. Sometimes it can. Mm-hmm. We're going to find out from Corbett whether or not that line can be drawn.
And in case you're not hip to the Twitter scene, beloved listener, we're talking about data.
Yes.
Yeah, data.
And the availability of it, who has access to it, and how it's used.
Where it goes. Yep. Right. That's exactly right.
Yeah. And which has been a topic of conversation, Davis, I mean, since the first yield map was constructed. The concern has been, who gets a hold of it and what do they do with it once they get a hold of it?
Right. And some farmers have been a tough sell on this. Farmers tend to be very private people, play the cards close to the chest. I get that. Right. It's part of the part of what makes a farmer successful to some degree. So this data thing, man, we're going to need to sort this out.
No doubt. All right, buddy. Hey, let's go ahead and get to the news.
Let's do. Well, House Ag Committee Ranking Member Mike Conaway says he expects the Trump administration to approve a 2020 round of market facilitation payments. This contradicts previous statements from Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue, who has told farmers not to count on the payments being made. Right. Let's see, I lost my place here. But Conway cited China's potential difficulties living up to its Phase 1 purchase commitments as that nation deals with the coronavirus outbreak. Meanwhile, Democrats on the Hill have questioned USDA's authority to make MFP payments available, suggesting future payments should be agreed to by Congress. This, as the Senate Ag Committee's top Democrat, Deb Stabenow, has asked the Government Accountability Office to investigate whether USDA distributed the payments already made fairly. Chip.
Those Commodity Credit Corporation funds, which is where the MFP payments have come from, the secretary's discretion has a lot to do with how those funds are used. Okay, so Congress may say that they want to say in how the Commodity Credit Corporation funds are used, the CCC funds.
Yeah.
But that's already been discussed, battled, debated. Yeah.
Yeah. And didn't we have a conversation with Colin Peterson in which he said, you know, I don't think most of these people even know the CCC is a thing.
Right.
He's not even sure that he wants them to know it's a thing.
Right. That's exactly right. You got to be careful what kind of a can of worms we open up. Yeah.
Right. Moving on, the Environmental Protection Agency is in consultation with the White House and the Department of Justice regarding the impact of three small refinery exemptions that were granted for the 2016 compliant year. A court has ruled the three refineries did not meet the RFS laws, which requires any SRE issued after 2010 to be counted as an extension. Chip, during the fourth quarter of 2019, Japan's economy contracted much more sharply than had been anticipated, falling 6.3%. The national sales tax had been increased from 8% to 10% on October 1, driving overall consumption downward. In other economic news, Germany's economy is also struggling, and the central bank there has warned it sees no sign of improvement in the growth outlook in the first quarter of 2020. Europe's largest economy has been largely stagnant for nearly 2 years as international trade tensions stifled growth in the country's manufacturing sector. The Bundesbank is calling on the government to facilitate a market boost. And Chip, the Trump administration is mulling a ban on U.S. exports of some jet engines to China. Trump is also reportedly considering restrictions on China's use of American computer chip making equipment. And finally, as the number of cases of the coronavirus reported plateaus, China continues to struggle to regain economic traction. The outbreak is expected to impact the timing of China's promised purchases of U.S. ag and energy products. But according to Reuters, independent refineries in China are increasing crude oil buys, which the service says is more related to recent price softness than to commitments made in the Phase 1 deal or to an increase in demand. Chip, I'm going to give you the I told you so on there when you said, they're going to buy according to the way the market is shaped.
Yeah. Well, they said it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, that you just have to listen to what they're saying. And a lot of times you can figure out whether it's going to take some time for a purchase to be made or not. And I think what they said was it's going to take a little bit of time. All right.
And here's the proof.
Davis.
You bet. Bye-bye.
All right. Let's bring in Annalisa Locke. She is the editor of Farm Journal's Milk. How you doing, Annalisa?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Chip?
Good, good, good. So what's up? DFA has bought 44 Dean plants. What's happening there?
Well, they haven't necessarily bought them yet. They reached an agreement with Dean Foods, which they announced yesterday. But the deal is subject to approval by the bankruptcy court, in which Dean Foods has filed Chapter 11, and it's also subject to approval from the Department of Justice. As you can imagine, there's some concerns from the Department of Justice when the largest milk processor in the country is bought by the largest milk cooperative in the country. So they've got to make sure and do their homework on antitrust stuff there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's the scoop. So there's a full list of where the 44 plants are located on milk. And
what does it mean for the farmers that have been delivering to these plants?
Well, so one thing that we have to keep in mind is that, DFA purchased these plants largely because this is where the majority of their milk is going, right?
Okay.
Dean Foods has been a customer of DFA's for a very, very long time. And so I think we'd be foolish to think that most of these plants are not already being supplied by DFA, but because of where these plants are located, we do have some indications that there are direct shippers that are independently shipping their milk to these plants. And DFA has said that they don't have any details confirmed yet, but they plan to continue to take milk from those customers. But likely they'd have to become cooperative members. I don't know that DFA would allow them to ship independently going forward.
Got it. All right, Annalisa, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Chip.
You bet. Bye. That is Annalisa Locke. She is the editor of Farm Journal's Milk. Okay, data. Who captures it? Once it's captured, who gets to use it? Who determines who gets to use it? And some of the optics of when data, even public data, is used. That's next. As we enter the new year, many corn growers look back to the 2019 season for insights on what to do differently in the season ahead. Today, I'm talking with Phil Krieg, Agronomy Services Representative with Syngenta, for his insights. Phil, reflect back on 2019. How did the weather impact, and it was a crazy weather year, but how did it impact disease pressure in your area?
It certainly had a lot of impact. You know, every year it seems like we're facing extremely unpredictable weather, and growers are starting to get used to the abnormal.
Yeah.
And so 2019 was no exception. You know, we started off the planting season with Mother Nature against us. Most growers were faced with a very late start, much later than anyone is accustomed to. I had fields with growers with fields that were covered in water. facing unusually late or no plant situations. For those who could plant late, and many of us were able to get in just in the nick of time, those wet fields caused a lot of problems and made more corn susceptible to a lot of diseases. We saw cases of fields with Physoderma brown spot, which is not very common. You don't see it every year, but boy, did it show up this year.
Yeah.
And just lots of stalk rots caused by wet soils. Late planting put the corn in the reproductive phase much later than normal,
right,
during a time of high humidity, heavy dews, and longer nighttime hours. So diseases like gray leaf spot, northern corn leaf blight, southern corn rust were very common.
Right.
So anywhere where we saw growers that didn't spray a preventative fungicide,
yep,
really experienced compromised yields.
Yeah, no question about that. All right. Thank you, Phil. That was Phil Krieg, Agronomy Service Representative with Syngenta. We'll be hearing more from him next week about last year's challenges and what growers can do to prepare for this season.
Save a bundle with a bundle from John Deere. Now through March 15th, save 15% on disc harrow parts with a new Pick 3 and Save program. Saving is simple. All you have to do is pick three or more select disc harrow parts categories, purchase $150 minimum of genuine John Deere parts in each category, and receive 15% off on all parts. Visit your local John Deere dealer today. Dealer participation may vary. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends March 15th, 2020.
Weeds want to restrict your freedom and crush the spirit of your crops. Never fear. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of superior weed control is here with Liberty Herbicide. Stand proud with greater application flexibility, unmatched convenience, and excellent performance combined with the Liberty Link, Liberty Link GT27, and Enlist trait systems. And it has no known resistance in U.S. row crops. Talk with your BASF rep or authorized retailer about Liberty Herbicide. Always read and follow label directions.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have Arc County right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
To protect her home and family in a disaster, Karen was willing to wade through water, mud, and insurance paperwork.
Yeah, I can do this.
You go, Karen! By simply understanding and updating what her insurance covers and doesn't cover now, she'll be better prepared no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm Andrew McRae, inviting you to join me for Farming the Countryside, a farmer-focused podcast important to agriculture, and is brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Visit pivotbio.com to find a representative near you.
And welcome back to AgriTalk. As promised, we've got a very special guest with us right now. Corbett Cool is the CEO of Tillable Inc. Corbett, welcome to AgriTalk. How are you this morning?
Doing great, Chip. Thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you making time because it was quite the dust-up that happened on Twitter at the end of last week. And I'll admit, I knew about Tillable. I haven't spent a lot of time getting to know what Tillable is all about. But so I went and I took a look, and just looking at the mission statement, Corbett, I think it does a nice job explaining what the goals of the company are. And number one on the list is a mission to make renting farmland as easy, fast, and fair as possible. It's kind of an interesting concept to take to the internet, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. And, you know, I originally, you know, had the idea for starting the company, you know, when a friend of mine called me up out of the blue, and he explained that he had inherited a farm from his grandmother, and he was kind of challenged to know what to do next. And I think we know from looking at data from the USDA and others that about half of all rented farmland is inherited. So that situation that my friend was going through is a story that plays out every day in every county, you know, across the United States, that people need some assistance in how to kind of manage their farmland.
Right. Number two on the list of the mission statement here is, we start by helping landowners make better decisions about their farmland, giving them access to data, information, and options they've never had before. What kind of data, information, and options are you talking about?
Well, a few things. I mean, we're pretty good at looking at the publicly available data sources on land, whether it's, you know, published by the USDA or by the local universities around average yields, average rents, soil productivity, et cetera. And we're trying to help these landowners do a better job of understanding, you know, the farms that they own, what value should be placed on those farms, and what those farms should rent for. I mean, you and I both know that two farms side by side that could look identical from the road could be dramatically different farms when it comes to overall productivity. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to help those landowners, number one, understand what kind of farm do they have, and then number two, help them understand what fair market value on that land would be, you know, predominantly from, you know, public data sources.
From public data sources. Now, it sounds to me, let me ask it this way. How is this different from some of the farm management services that are offered by like Hertz or Farmers National, something like that?
So, you know, I think the difference with Tillable, and by the way, you know, I've got a lot of friends that work in farm management at the various different farm management companies, and they're great people. They're great companies. And for some people, that is a great option. But unfortunately, for whatever reason, a lot of landowners have still, you know, they're trying to go it alone. You know, they're not trying to hire a farm manager to work with them. So we like to think we're an option for that other 80 to 90% that is right, choosing to go it alone. And we're creating a digital platform that allows these landowners to manage their land, make sure that they're getting fair market value, and then get access to great farmers that they might not know exist out there. So, I mean, one of the very common things that we hear from landowners, especially remote landowners, is, you know what, I just don't know the farmers in that community all that well. I'm not at the local coffee shop,
right,
so I just don't have those personal relationships anymore. I'd like to know, you know, who are the 5 or 10 or 15 farmers who might be interested in renting my farm, and I'd like to have a conversation with them. So anyway, it's one of the benefits of Tillable is we're able to aggregate up that demand of farmers and present that to a landowner such that they know who are the farmers in their area that might be interested in renting their farm.
Okay, well, the dust up on Twitter last week, at the end of last week, it It had something to do with what I understand are marketing letters that came from Tillable that depending on which end of the spectrum of Twitter responses you want to look at, Corbett, it ranged from predatory practices to nothing more than a marketing letter. How do you address that?
Yeah, so the reaction was really about we have sent out direct hassle-free lease letters to landowners offering to put in place a hassle-free lease on these farms for 1 to 3 years. And we came up with the rental amounts based upon publicly available data sources to understand or to be able to make a proposal to a landowner. And we sent, you know, a fairly large number of these letters out to landowners. Mm-hmm. You know, in general, you know, we're kind of trying to target non-operating landowners, but inevitably some number of farmers got the letters as well. And we're using this data to predict what we think a fair market rent is. And, you know, some people were a little bit surprised by this, like, hey, how can you know what my rent, what rent should be on my farm? But, you know, trust me when I say that, you know, between the Survo soil data, just knowing the property, you know, boundaries, and then comparing it to, you know, county average rents and county average productivity index, you can get pretty close on a farm.
So
are these estimates perfect? No, they're not perfect, but they're a pretty good approximation of what a farm should rent for.
Okay, well, you're well known in the industry, Corbett, and the your connection to 640 Labs and Climate Corp and Field View, and now with Tillable, do you understand? I think I understand how the optics went from bad to worse when Field View discontinued the relationship with Tillable at the end of last week. Do you understand that?
So,
okay.
I do. So let me explain to you how our relationship and how an API relationship with Climate would work, where we were in the process, and what we would use that data for. So
okay.
When you have an API agreement or a partnership agreement with one of these digital ag platforms, in this case Climate, you're able to have data shared with you explicitly from a farmer to a company like Tillable. But Climate is not able to share that data proactively from any farm. The sharing of the data actually has to happen by the farmer. Climate's not able to do it. I mean, first of all, it would be a violation of their terms of service, and it would also not be good for them as a business anyway. So there's no way that they would do that. It has to be explicitly shared from a farmer to a landowner, to Tillable, or to some other entity in agriculture. So first of all, it has to be explicit sharing.
Okay.
The thing that's kind of interesting about this particular situation is we hadn't even implemented the API yet. So okay. The press release went out, you know, a few months ago that we were partnering up with Climate, but we had not even implemented it. So the accusation on Twitter was that Climate had shared a bunch of data with us, and from that shared data, we had made these hassle-free lease offers, which, you know, is just, you know, just an outright lie. That's not true. It's not factual. And we had never actually even implemented the API yet. So
okay.
We didn't have access to the data to share anyway. So it's,
gotcha.
It's just a really good example of how misinformation, okay. And then a story can kind of take on a life of
exactly.
its own.
Exactly. And that happens very easily out there on Twitter. Stand by with us, Corbett. We're going to do a little bit of AgriTalk Extra with you. thank you so much for making time for AgriTalk this morning. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
That is Corbett Cool. He is the CEO of Tillable Inc.
The sounds of success vary from person to person.
Over to second in time on the first double play.
Success sounds like this to a Credenz soybean grower. When you pick Credenz, you get a precise variety that fits your field. A variety built to work in your soil type and conditions with targeted traits for local pest and disease pressures. Earning the satisfaction of a successful soybean crop? That's smart. Talk to your authorized Credenz retailer or local BASF seed advisor. Always read and follow label directions.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
And joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Brian, this wheat market's kind of off and rolling this morning. What's going on?
Yeah, running really strong here to kick off the week, Chip. And, A-Bears cut the Aussie wheat crop just a little bit. I think that maybe has given us a little bit of fundamental support. But really, technically, we've pushed above some key resistance levels, picked off some buy stops, and that allowed the market to extend gains. So that's probably more than anything contributing factor there. The March SRW contract above that 10-day moving average, and I think that's a critical one that traders are watching here. So that two-week rolling average, we pushed above it and hopefully can close above that level.
Yeah, it seems to be pulling corn along.
Definitely. Corn market, not nearly the gains that we're seeing in the wheat market with those double-digit advances there, but still 3 to 4 cents higher and a good solid price performance. When you look at the charts, though, just choppy and sideways here still. So wheat has to do a lot more pulling for corn to break out of that sideways range.
Yeah, I said at the start of the show that soybeans and hogs were under some pressure, but both of those markets have kind of erased the losses, and we're getting back up to unchanged.
Yeah, just kind of hanging there. Not really doing a whole lot here to kick off the week in the bean market. The meal is trying to pull it higher. It's trading with a firmer tone, but soy oil is weaker. So pulling in both directions there, and beans aren't going much of anywhere.
Yeah, can we get this hog market up and moving this week?
Well, it started with a firmer tone, and then it backed off. And I would call this morning's price performance, while it hasn't been exciting on either side of the market, I would say it's somewhat disappointing just based on the fact that it started firmer and found no follow-through buying.
No doubt. All right, Brian, thanks, man. That is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Bear Plus Rewards. Sign in and start earning at mybearplus.com.
And welcome back to AgriTalk. Wow, good conversation with Corbett there about some of the things that are happening at Tillable and the use of data and everything. We'll talk more about that at the end of the show, because right now we've got Senator Joni Ernst from Iowa on the line with us. Senator, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Oh, absolutely. Good morning.
Yeah, it's good to talk with you again. It's been a while, but since the last time we talked, Senator, we've made some important progress. I think it's important progress on infrastructure funding. And I know that you wanted to talk about the dredging project on the Mississippi River. It seems like every time, whether the Republican Party or the Democrat Party is looking for a bipartisan issue that we could maybe get together on, infrastructure comes up. And I think this is definitely a step in the right direction.
Oh, most certainly. This dredging project is really important, not just for Iowa farmers, but all of our farmers that utilize the Mississippi River system to get their goods exported to markets all around the world. And this dredging project has been approved by the Army Corps of Engineers. It is an $85 million project. So very large in the terms of infrastructure. And what we'll see is the deepening of the river from Baton Rouge down to the Gulf of Mexico. This is a great project, and our Iowa soybean farmers are just really ecstatic that we've been able to get this approved.
Right, right. And I know that on the Illinois River, we're going to be making some much needed improvements to the lock and dam system on the Illinois. It could be a bit disruptive for a while when those locks and dams are shut down, but we need to make these major maintenance improvements from time to time, right?
Right. It is absolutely critical that we do that. And of course, along the Mississippi, both Tammy Duckworth of Illinois and I have really been pushing to see the locks and dams modernized. It is essential that we keep up. We have these commodities that need to move. And if you can put more soybeans, more corn onto a barge and get it downriver, you are saving dollars, transportation dollars. And so with this particular dredge project that we see down opening to the Gulf of Mexico, the soybean farmers are estimating they'll see an additional $71 million in their pockets because of this project. That's significant.
That one is worth doing, no doubt about it.
Not chump change.
That's right. That's right. Okay, speaking of the Army Corps, Senator, I know that you've been working hard trying to get a handle on the flood risk that we face on the Mississippi and especially on that Missouri River over closer to your part of the state.
Yeah.
What is the latest there? I don't even know how else to ask this, Senator. Do we still trust the Army Corps to manage the floods?
Well, we do know that the Army Corps strives very hard to protect life and property. So I can't fault them in that area. And this last year, we saw things that were beyond the circumstance that they would normally face. A lot of the rain we saw in western Iowa and through Nebraska actually fell below a lot of those dam structures or the reservoirs. And so we couldn't control that, hence all the flooding that we had in Iowa and Nebraska. But we do have to oversee the Corps of Engineers and make sure that they are working with the stakeholders, whether it's along the Mississippi River system, whether it is the Missouri River, which joins into the Mississippi. We have to continually engage both the Corps, the stakeholders, whether they're business owners, farmers, ranchers, all along those systems, and make sure that they are communicating quite clearly, either if there is a situation that's coming up like flooding that you can forecast so that we can protect those properties, those human lives, or if there are projects that need to be done and we need our citizens speaking out either for or against. Yeah. So I think that there are a lot of situations where we can provide opportunity for both the Corps and those individuals.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Boy, Senator, it is so encouraging to me to see the governors from Missouri, Iowa, Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota, all working together to in an effort to bring as much information as we possibly can to landowners and citizens.
Right, absolutely. And this is an area, when we look at these river systems, where we really do need to have the leadership of each state working together. And there are differences in our state. If you look more towards that upper basin area, some of those states will be very focused on recreational uses for those reservoirs. And for the downstream governors, of course, the concern is always the flooding situation. They hold too much. So there has to be that communication, collaboration between our states. Our governors are doing a really fantastic job of coming together, voicing those concerns. Hey, it takes communication, and that's what we've got.
Gotcha. Let's talk about some happenings in Washington, D.C., and the president's budget in particular. I loved the headline that you put on your latest press release. Hey, you know, if I've got to budget my balance my budget, shouldn't we expect the same from Washington?
Exactly. And Iowans have to do that every day. And for heaven's sakes, how is it that the federal government gets away with not balancing their budget? So I am thankful that the president actually has identified some areas where there is significant waste. And so if we can curtail significant waste, like we've seen a lot, what I call the bogus bonuses that have gone out to contractors that are actually failing at their jobs. If we can target that, not reward contractors for bad behavior, overspending, and not getting their projects done on time, that is a significant savings to our taxpayers. There are other areas as well that we can dive into. They are so numerous out there across the budget. So, you know, thankfully the president's diving into that. I support his efforts. A number of the things he's identified in his budget are actually the bills that I have been working on in the previous numbers of years. So I'm glad the president has taken notice, and hopefully we can work together to save some of our taxpayer dollars.
Yeah, Senator, talking about saving the dollars, explain the use it or lose it concept here in the budget, because that just doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, and I started my career as a county auditor, and so I experienced this even as a county auditor watching the books, where departments at the end of the year, if they still have dollars left in their budget, they want to spend it because they're afraid, if I don't spend these dollars, I'm not going to see that same level of budgeting the next year. So what they do, they'll tend to buy a lot of unnecessary products. And I can give just a very simple example at a local level, where they buy a bunch of toner cartridges for copiers. But shoot, that next year, you know what? They've bought a new copier and those toner cartridges don't work anymore.
Right.
And so they've stocked up on those, and such a waste. But at the federal government level, they're buying things like lobster tails, fidget spinners, games. We saw the purchase of a foosball table. Come on, you know, the federal government doesn't need that stuff, so stop buying it. So what we need to do is make sure that in the last 2 months of the fiscal year, they're not engaging in wasteful spending, and we'll hold them to the average of the previous 10 months.
Okay. Boy, I hope we can – I hope you are successful in finding a way of getting away from that. And goodness gracious, it just seems ridiculous.
Yeah, it is
what
ridiculous.
Else? Yeah, what else is on your priority list, Senator?
Well, we do have to get an infrastructure bill done overall. Yeah. It's really wonderful to see projects like this dredging project by the Corps of Engineers on the lower Mississippi help us get our goods out there. But by and large, we really do need to focus on making sure that we are supporting our infrastructure, and not just our roads and bridges, but things that we can do in the rural areas like broadband, making sure that our rural communities are connected to our urban metro centers. And that is an equally bipartisan push. So I am very hopeful that that will be that we pick up together. It has passed out. It's Senator John Barrasso's bill out of Environment and Public Works. When we passed this out of our Senate committee, it passed out unanimously. all Democrats, all Republicans supporting. So I hope to see some great support on the floor of the Senate.
Very good. Very good. Senator, I can't thank you enough for your time. We really appreciate it. And we'll look forward to having a conversation with you again real soon.
Oh, sounds fantastic. Thank you so much and have a great day.
Thank you so much. That is Senator Joni Ernst from Iowa. I tell you what, when she starts talking about the broadband and getting connecting rural America, Davis, to and making that connection as quick and as reliable as it is in the urban areas, it makes me feel good because I get to experience it like every day, and I can't wait until the rest of my neighbors get it. So it's very important, no doubt about it. Okay, when we come back, we're going to touch a bit on some of the highlights from the conversation there with Senator Ernst, getting ready for the flooding along the Missouri, the Mississippi, the Cedar, the Platte, all those rivers. We can talk a little bit about that, but we'll also get back to the conversation with Corbett here in just a moment.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarm.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
I'm Zach Johnson, a row crop farmer in Minnesota.
And I'm Mitchell Hora, a farmer in Iowa.
Agriculture has to feed a growing population, and many people want us to pull that off without messing up the environment. So how do we do that?
We're trying to figure that out on our podcast, Fieldwork. Check us out on the AgriTalk app and learn more at fieldworktalk.org.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
The mighty Prosaro, king of fungicides. Its fast action and long residual make it the keeper of grain quality and yield. The hammer of head and leaf diseases. The number one reducer of scab. When your goal is greater wheat quality and higher yield, use Prosaro fungicide. And the crown of higher profit will be yours. Learn more at prosaro.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
Picture yourself driving the tractor of your dreams, creeping up and down the rolling hills, enjoying an incredible sunset, and feeling satisfied that you were able to finally find your dream tractor at a reasonable price. Visit MachineryPete.com for the best selection of used tractors, skid steers, mowers, and more. We've revolutionized searching for equipment online. Find exactly what you're looking for quickly and easily. Your next piece of equipment is only a click away on MachineryPete.com. Visit MachineryPete.com now.
At Brandt, we're once again breaking ground on groundbreaking technology. It's called EnzUp, and it's a revolutionary product featuring new enzyme that helps prime the soil for success at planting by boosting enzyme activity and creating a rich environment around the seed. This function helps plants emerge quickly and come out strong, which gives the crop its best chance to face what Mother Nature has in store and can increase yield up to 15%. So, don't break ground this season without the groundbreaking technology of EnzUp enzymes by Brandt. Find EnzUp at Brandt.co.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
Commodity Classic is the place to renew your passion for agriculture.
This is my third time at the Commodity Classic. It is just such an exciting place. If you're in agriculture and you come down here and you don't get excited, you shouldn't be in agriculture. Every year I come home, I take something away. And every year I come home and I'm excited. I can't wait for spring to get here now.
See your future clearly at Commodity Classic in San Antonio, Texas, February 27th through 29th. Discover more at commodityclassic.com.
Let the proven performance of Prosaro fungicide maximize your grain quality, yield, and profit this season.
So how was the weekend, Davis?
The weekend was outstanding, my friend.
Good.
Started off with Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Had a great time.
Great. Great. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got a question for you.
Yep.
So here's what we did. I forced my son to be our waiter. I cooked a delicious meal for my bride. Set up the living room as though it were some sort of shishi cantina.
Yeah.
And we watched my wife's favorite romantic movie, which is Dirty Dancing.
Okay.
How does Very no good. One raise the question
okay.
when Patrick Swayze at the end goes, I want to do my dance in my style. And he plays I Had the Time of My Life, right? An iconic song. Where did he get that record? Before that,
know.
The whole show, they're doing the Watusi and the mashed potato and the mashed potato. And I'm in love, man. Where did he get that record?
I don't know.
It ruined the entire evening. I couldn't take it.
You couldn't get it out of your
Just
head.
The leap in logic was too much for me.
That was not the first time that you saw Dirty Dancing.
I haven't seen it a whole lot.
Okay.
Yeah. It was
You don't put baby in a corner, okay?
No, nobody does. Nobody does.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
But we had a great time. How about you? Did you make it home? How'd you wind up?
I got to see my granddaughter this weekend.
Perfect.
That was good. That was good. The weekend for you was obviously better.
And it was lovely. Yeah.
For me, was better than what the folks at Tillable probably went through over the weekend.
Yeah.
I tell you what, for Corbett to agree to come on and Corbett Cool, the CEO of Tillable, to come on and explain how he sees the situation from his point of view. All
That's
right?
a tough draw for first thing Monday morning, by the way.
It's
what a
Tuesday
trooper.
Morning, but yeah.
I guess it is, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I just didn't want anybody to leave confused. Mm-hmm. That is a tough situation to jump right into at the start of the week. But it's like I said to him, the optics of this and the connection between, and there's no denying that there is a connection between Corbett and Climate and Field View, like as we discussed, as we discussed with him, and as we got into more in the AgriTalk Extra that's going to be available on agweb.com and on the AgriTalk app within a half an hour after the show is done here this morning. We got to give Joel some time.
Big Apple Joe's hard at work on it.
Loaded.
Yeah.
And by the way, Joe said when we were talking to Senator Ernst that we could sign him up for the lobster tail. We can help him get through that.
I'm still waiting on my Dorito that's shaped, or my funding for my Dorito that's shaped like the Great Pyramids of Giza, but whatever.
Right. Yeah. But it is the optics of the situation with Tillable. And as I said, some are calling the marketing tactic that Tillable used with those letters to landowners, which some ended up in farmers' hands, it doesn't surprise me that some have viewed that marketing tactic as predatory. This is what happens when we get into a disruptive economy, I guess.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because so many of the companies that have made their mark with technology have come in to disrupt the way that things have, the way that things currently happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there are some that are saying, hey, Tillable, just stay out of my business.
Right.
Stay out of my neighborhood's business. Stay out of my county's business. And let this thing happen the way that it has always happened. Well, okay. You know, I can see that point of view. But yeah. I can also see the point of view of, well, if there's a better way of connecting landowners and tenants, shouldn't we also be exploring that option? I am not saying that I agree with the letter that went with the marketing letter that went out from Tillable.
Mm-hmm.
If they had asked me, what do you think, Chip? Is this a good idea? I probably would have said, I don't think so.
Yeah.
That, but I'm not some marketing master, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to that relationship that was going to happen between FieldView and Tillable, but now has been withdrawn by FieldView, I asked Corbett how Tillable moves forward without that kind of an agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that it's an inconvenience. There's no question about that. But you really need to hear how he describes it going forward in the AgriTalk Extra. I need to listen to it again because we had the conversation just a few minutes before we went on the air, and he had to get to a meeting, which I completely understand. I'm just glad that he made the time to come on the show with us this morning. So there are all kinds of tentacles that are going to come from this first. It's not the first, but this is a significant blow up on how data is being handled, how it is being used. And some are saying this is the first real example of how farmers' data is being used against them originated the data.
Okay.
So,
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, Joe, can you cut the music for 1 second, please? I know we're heading out here. I just want to celebrate wheat growers. Are you kidding me? The soft red up 15 cents, hard red up 12, mini wheat up 8 cents. But, I mean, come on. We so few times get to celebrate the wheat grower.
Very
good. Have a
good
great day.
Come back this afternoon. We're going to talk with Carl Setzer from AgriVisor right here on AgriTalk.
Sweet strawberry icing. You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
Thanks to Miravis Neofungicide for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer today about pre-ordering Miravis Neo or visit the Miravis Neo webpage for more information. Always read and follow label instructions.